Welcome to Drunk Girls Gone Sober with your hosts,
Tara Golding
and Carly Williams,
your safe space to be sober and disorderly. Enjoy it. And
so today, Tara, what are we talking about?
Today, we are going to touch on a subject that currently affects 1.9 million adults in the UK, and that's ADHD.
ADHD and alcohol, guys.
And alcohol. And Carly, this is more prominent for you.
So I'm the ADHD one, and Tara is not. So I have all the millions of ideas at once, and Tara puts them in compartments for me. So together we are one.
We are one. I'm better at compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
And probably suffer with other mental illnesses, just not ADHD.
Basically, I've been doing my research on this because I've always found that my need to drink is more compulsive than maybe certain other people's. And what we've discovered is that ADHD and alcohol are a toxic mix.
It's 5 to 10% more prominent with people, well, young adults with
alcohol
addiction. ADHD is present.
It's the 5 to 10 times more likely that you're going to have a problem with alcohol if you have ADHD. And I totally relate to this, and I know that all my ADHD friends will also relate to this. I'm currently going through the diagnosis myself, and I'll tell you about that in a bit, because there was a funny questionnaire, because it honestly makes you feel so much better. And all my friends, all the things that have annoyed them about me for many, many years, and teachers, and, you know, college and school,
the penny drops.
Yeah, the penny drops and it makes sense. One of those, actually, I'll just mention now quickly, is interrupting people when they're speaking. Sorry, Tara.
Who would need that as a co-host?
And finishing other people's stories.
Again, what makes a brilliant co-host, Carly?
We're actually trying to learn how to let each other finish.
Every day is a learning day.
Every day is a learning day.
And trust me, this podcast has been, sorry to divert, and this is probably an ADHD symptom, not me.
It's my ADHD symptom, and she's saying it.
This whole experience of starting a podcast and creating a podcast, every step of it,
I think what is, Tara just has unrealistic expectations. Everything, she's like, oh my god, we've only got to do this, we'll be so quick. And I'm like, clear your whole day and another day this week. She's like, oh my god, we'll get it in a couple of hours. It's just not the case.
I'm so optimistic.
And do you think I'm taking down her optimism when I'm being realist? But you know,
I'm learning the ways.
I'm still learning. Every day is a learning day.
And also, before you jump in about your
ADHD
experience, I just want to say, I think today's society is very label-based, and we're not trying to put anyone in a box, especially to do with drinking ADHD. So we're not here to label or put anyone in a box, but I just think it's,
this is our personal experience.
It's super useful to know about, because I didn't know about half of this information before I started.
But she does have a fantastic story for you about ADHD, and we'll get into that in a bit. But first of all, I just want to talk about the ADHD and drinking, because I think a lot of people are undiagnosed ADHD, and especially in our creative industry, personally for us, most of our friends have ADHD. And when we're all together, oh, wow. It's intense.
No one finishes anything. no one can talk for more than 2.3 seconds.
So basically it consists of, so obviously we work in TV and film, and there's about 30 of us makeup artists together. I'd say probably 22 of them have ADHD. And we all sit around a table and everyone speaks at the exact same time, and they all tell their own story. And yet we've all heard each other, even though we've just spoke about ourselves, and we've all fully feel fulfilled.
Walked away from that conversation feeling how great was that?
Like, oh my god, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because like ADHD people together, they're just like, oh my god, you totally understand. And I, for one, am grateful, and I still think it's a superpower. It just needs to be controlled.
Do you want to explain for anyone who doesn't know what ADHD actually is?
Well, I don't know. I can explain to you what it does. Well, but there's loads of different types of ADHD, and I have a more of a hyper version. And basically, essentially, I can explain to you what it does to me. And that is, a million things go on in my head at once, and I cannot focus on one thing.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Thank you, Tara. And that's what it is. I don't know. Honestly,
about your experience, Carl, with it. And when do you think you first noticed that you were, I wouldn't say different, but you were...
Definitely different.
Definitely different. You were functioning differently from other people in school?
Always. Okay. School teachers used to get really mad at me, and they'd compare me to my brother. My brother was the A-star golden boy, and still is. Hi, James.
And basically, no resentment there, is there?
No, I love my brother. He's also, he's got gifts of his own. He's a professional poker player.
Superpowers
in the family. But I could never concentrate. I actually once had a teacher hit me over the head in primary school with a Bible, a thick, thick Bible, which, yeah, I know. That's the face I want to see.
To knock Satan out.
To smack me over the head because I was speaking and not listening. I think I was about 8 years old. Not allowed to do that now, people. Obviously.
My mum used to roll me up in a rug. You're not allowed to do that either.
Well, I don't know. Is that a game or...?
I think my twin brother has ADHD, or my mum just calls him an alien, and she says he's not from this world, but he used to do manic things like climb the door frames, like Spider-Man.
Okay.
And then her solution was child abuse.
In the lightest possible way, that is not an actual fact. But so Tara is a twin.
I've got an older brother, half brother, and a twin brother. I'm the only girl standing in the family.
She's a girl.
That's I am, Colin.
Right, we're going to try and focus on the story. Like, this is what we get happened? A bit distracted.
Oh, okay. So you first noticed that you were functioning somewhat differently at school when you got hit over the head.
With a Bible. And I also remember at university, I got picked to do a competition. I got chosen to... Do you know what? I actually can't remember the name of it. Can you... That's it. I don't remember what it stands for. There'd be loads of makeup stalls there, and you'd be competitions, and you'd go and you'd get chosen to do something. But anyway, I got picked to do one of the... things I'd done at university, and it was body painting. Do you know what? I just didn't think to bring my own makeup kit with me.
Oh, you mean
IMAX? Yes. Is it IMAX?
That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay, it probably is IMAX, guys.
Well, either or. Everyone's on the same page now.
But I just didn't... I was still at uni, and I was chosen to go and do it, but I... didn't bring my own makeup.
Whose makeup were you going to use?
I don't know. All right, so guys, I'm obviously not like that anymore because I'm a professional in the industry and I do know how to work. But at the time, it just didn't occur to me because it's a symptom of ADHD to just... I was so just excited about doing it. And the only thing I was like, right, all I've got to do is be there to do it. Forgot about all of the materials that you may need. So,
yeah.
Big learning curve.
How did you end up doing it?
I was at
the makeup trade show.
I was at the makeup trade show. So
it's all coming back to you now.
So I was only 18, guys. I did manage to buy all the paints, but I do remember my tutor was like, what's wrong with you? Why would you not bring it?
That was an expensive day for you.
It was an expensive day, but you know, it was worth it. It looked amazing. And I had to learn. It's not something I've forgotten. So there you go. But yeah, going back to the ADHD with alcohol thing, because I think a lot of people have a lot going on in their minds all the time, and people undiagnosed with ADHD don't know, and we often drink to calm the thoughts in our minds. So you want a bit of respite, so you have a moment. But the problem with that is what we're learning is it's you get 5 to 10 times more anxiety and depression. So learning that
if you have ADHD,
if you have ADHD compared to a normal person with a hangover, so the effects are way worse.
The Sunday scaries are awful.
Yeah, the combination with the impulsivity and the disrupted emotional function just gets worse. Anyway, there's a lot of online tests that you can do, guys. And I've actually just, there's a long wait list at the doctor's as well, but I'm pretty much type A.
But also we are not medical professionals. So please don't go running to your health practitioner and say, I've listened to a podcast. I get really bad anxiety. I've got ADHD. I've done an online test. Google's my best friend.
This is actually something that Tara would do, you know, after listening to a podcast back in the day, running to the GP and going, I've just listened to this and I have this.
The GP doesn't take me seriously.
That's good. Thank God for that.
I know. It's concerning, though.
Slightly. Maybe change GPs. Start afresh.
Yeah, I did. I told them about my legs, my dancing legs when I drink, and they just looked at me and said, yeah, you're just drunk. But I swore to them it was a real medical condition. I've been suffering from it all my life. There was a girl at university, I was in a nightclub, and she thought I had been drugged, and I just tried to explain to her, no, it's just my feet. Yeah, the doctors didn't take me seriously. I wasn't impressed.
So the ADHD thing, it's obviously if you feel like something's off and you're not quite sure about it, but most of us, especially in the creative, I'd say in TV and film, a lot of creatives have ADHD. Or it just is the way of life.
Just the creative fields, because your brain, like it is a superpower. I see you, the way you think and the way you move.
That sounds like the lyrics of a song.
It's your brain thinks about 100 different things at once. It's insane.
Yeah,
and it just gets a bit confused, and that's where the
chaos does come in. But it can get really frustrating when you are actually trying to do a task, because some days are worse than others, and when everything's going at once, it's mad. Like we had this last week when we were actually trying to record our intro, and
by the way, which we did from a disabled toilet.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah. Digressing.
Digressing. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously we've mentioned that every day is a learning day. And if you're creating a podcast and you don't have a team behind you and you don't have producers and it is just you.
Two makeup artists who are creative and not logical whatsoever.
If you are just two makeup artists and just two people just staring at your laptops for hours trying to work out how the hell things are meant to happen. How to use GarageBand, how to use any kind of software on a MacBook. So we successfully recorded our podcast, and then it came to editing. And like I said, we don't have a team. It's just us. And like Carly said, I thought it would be a breeze. Cut to me and Carly standing in a disabled toilet, which we commandeered as our studio for the day on the Strand.
But why did we have to do that? Because there is a podcast studio that we would use. It's a studio that we were going to use at 180, and it was out of order. So it was out of order, and it was the last thing we had to do. So we actually spent the day going, we were out there, but we were going in and out of a disabled toilet trying to get a clear cut of our intro outro.
To the point where we started having meetings in the toilet, and I just looked at Carly, and we weren't recording anything, and I just looked at Carly and said, should we just take this outside? Because we were just standing in a public
giving each other notes in the disabled toilet.
Not a public toilet, that wouldn't last.
But, you know, we did it in the end, so if you guys heard a lot of echoing on that, there is a reason, and that is the story behind it. However, We've given up on that idea. We've had it professionally done. And so this time...
Don't worry, I didn't drink after that.
She didn't?
No.
Oh, yeah, so we still haven't drank. We're still not drinking. Actually, we both went to Reformers today. No.
I went to another Blaze class.
Ooh, she's loving Blaze. I went to my first Reformers class
today. And how did you find that, Carly?
It was hard. It was hard. I do yoga and Pilates. That was hard. But, like, good. It really was worked on my core, and to start the day and make me tired because I have so much energy.
Pilates is also good for the mind. Well, yeah. As is every exercise, but that.
Like, my preference for that is yoga with breath work, because I just love it. But yeah, it was great. I will definitely be going again.
Pilates is a lifestyle along with a nice coffee. It's not been a shabby morning. It did take us.
We got stressed.
We got so stressed with the bloody microphones. We talk like now that last week was just the start of our troubles. Yeah, it took us 2.5 hours to actually record anything, but hey ho.
Here we are, guys.
Back to the point of the episode.
Yeah, sorry. So back to our ADHD episode.
So, Carly, how do you think ADHD has impacted your relationship with alcohol?
Well, I actually didn't know it was. I didn't know it was a thing. Knowledge is key, people.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is
power. But from being sober, what I learned is that my mind is so much clearer. And what that means is the ADHD is way more prominent. And I noticed this last year when I did it for the 69 days of non-drinking that, wow, I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas. So having non-ADHD friends, aka Tara,
yeah,
really helps me.
Actually, John, that makes so much sense because you don't over communicate, but when you need to say something, you're a multi-messenger. Do you know what I mean? And then also my dad, who I think's got ADHD but refuses to believe in labels, he is very much an over communicator. I don't know if that's because he loves the sound of his own voice and his own thoughts. But I know that's not the case for you, but you very much get into it. Your brain is working overtime on it.
Yeah. I saw my friend, one of our other friends, the other week, who she's pregnant, so she really didn't need to deal with me. But she's also got ADHD. But I thought, let's go to the cinema whilst you can still do something. And by the time I picked her up, got driven from hers to the cinema, got to the cinema desk, she was like, oh my God, your ADHD today is on fire. And I was like, oh my God, is it? She was like, you haven't shut up since I got in the car.
But you don't even realise until someone tells you.
Wow. So there are tests online you can do. We aren't medical professionals. You can diagnose yourselves with Google. That's fine. Or you can go to your doctor. But if it's bothering you that much, I had to go because they can give you medications that can make you focus. But it's a long process. And on that note, so Tara not having ADHD, but Tara being Tara, would like to tell us a little story about when she took some ADHD medication.
And it was prescribed to someone, it just wasn't prescribed to me. So it's not like illegal drug use.
No.
Tell them the story. It's legal prescribed drugs. Okay, so me, my ex-partner and some family members, not my mother or my father, were going to Amsterdam between Christmas and New Year's. So, and that year it was particularly cold. And by the time we boarded the airplane, it had completely frozen over. And of course, we were on a budget airline. There wasn't any insurance for the plane to be defrosted. So I think it was at the back of the queue to leave the airport. So we were essentially grounded for 4 hours. We were stuck on this plane because they couldn't put us back in the terminal because we'd left already for whatever reason. I don't know. And then their air hostesses and attendants started serving alcohol, which I've later learned that it's illegal to serve alcohol if the plane is on the ground, it's illegal. But it's, imagine the group of people between Christmas and New Year's. It's just everyone rowdy.
Oh, the no days, where there's no days in the year.
It was rowdy party people that wanted to go to Amsterdam for New Year's. Anyway, so everyone's like having a jolly, like trying to make the best of being stuck in a tin can, which I hate anyway. But, you know, you could see life outside the window. So the person that I was with, she said, hey, Tara, let's party. And she has ADHD and I do not. And I thought, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to super focus.
Hang on. So can I just say, did you take it because you wanted to super focus because you were stuck on the ground and you have nothing to do, or because you were feeling a bit cray cray?
It was the worm.
Oh, the worm. And we're back to the worm.
The worm wanted medicine.
Okay, right, yeah.
The worm wanted medicating in all the wrong ways. Anyway, so I took the ADHD medication, and obviously not suffering from ADHD, it would not work the same as
people with ADHD.
In fact, it's not meant for me.
The opposite.
It sent me absolutely mental to the point where I started looking around manically, thinking I need to guess out of this tin can. The air hostess was like, please sit down, please sit down. And I'm saying, no, I need to deboard the plane right now. I elbowed an air hostess out the way. I undid the safety. They hadn't shut the door, but they put the safety belts across and the steps were still down on the plane. So I undid this, like, I undid the safety belt. I deboarded the plane by myself. I had airport security running up the tarmac saying, no, you can't step foot on the ground. And I was thinking, why can't I step? I was like, what's the difference? And I was telling them this. What is the difference between me being on these steps and me with my feet on the ground?
But how were you, like, actually, what was going on in your head to make you need to get off that plane?
I don't think it was a panic attack. I wish I could blame it on that. It wasn't. And then I think I pretended it was to their hostesses. because then I was just hanging out the side of the plane, breathing. And then my ex at the time tried to make it better. And I was over being with him at that time. So at that point, I was like, I don't want you anywhere near me.
Oh, God.
So that didn't make the relationship any better. And if he's ever listening to this, I apologise. He said I treated him really bad beyond that trip.
Right, okay. So that's Taylor's official apology.
That's my official apology. Anyway, point being is, it wasn't a great experience the first time I did it. The second time I took ADHD medication without being...
You did it twice.
It was when I was working in recruitment, and all forms of drugs and alcohol are welcomed in that industry.
Sure.
I've never made so many phone calls in one morning. I was so hyperfixated. Did I hand in my notice, get fired? Yes.
But did you have a good time?
I then saw the positives of that, but I just should never do it.
Yeah, so the advice that we're going to say now is definitely don't take medication unless it is prescribed to you.
And I would not do it now sober, not drink alcohol. It was totally wanting to live in chaos, wanting to party, wanting to be manic, which I was always in that headspace.
And I think, like, a lot of you said to us about the last podcast that you understood the brain worm.
The worm, yeah.
And actually it helped you understand your partners better. I had, you know, voice notes like, oh my God, so-and-so has the brain worm. My partner has the brain worm. And now I get it. That's why they don't want to go home at the end of the night. And I'm like, correct.
Yeah. And it's not through a choice of, I think I can be the best party. Well, you do think that at the time, but it is taken out of your control.
Yeah.
And heightened if you do suffer from ADHD, because that those impulsivities are just heightened.
Oh, they are so heightened. Well, what I also wanted to say is a massive problem I have had forever, and my friends, like, you know, I've got friends I've known since I was born, and they can't stand me on a holiday. Like, really? Everyone babysits me immediately from the second we are there. Has Carly got her bag? Has Carly got her passport? Has Carly brought her fucking toothbrush? Well, and honestly, it annoys me, and it's happened to me for such a long time.
Yeah.
But guess what, guys? It's a symptom. You misplace things or you lose things constantly because of the brain, because of the ADHD.
Because of the brain.
Because of the ADHD. So you can imagine how much worse it is when you're drunk. I've lost so many things drunk. But
what's the worst thing you've lost? One, well, I guess it goes hand in hand, but because your brain's been all over the place and because obviously you've been drunk and impaired, like the most expensive or the most valuable.
I've had my handbag stolen several times from under my feet in London. In pubs.
I think that's just bad luck, though. It's under your feet.
Under the table, yeah. I've had my whole bag taken. Someone did crawl under the table in a pub in my 20s when I was in theatre, and took my entire handbag. And it just so happened that day I had a new card. So don't ask me why I've never done it since. Don't recommend it. Wrote down the PIN number to said card, put it in my purse, And
Carly is an out of town girl.
I was new to London and I thought people would not rob you, but they do, guys. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
So my dad used to say, like, I swear to God, just people follow you around in London nonstop, track they you do. To take your stuff back in the day. Since, have to focus way more on belongings that belong to me.
Yeah.
However, even yesterday, my friend, one of my best friends from home, who's known me forever, she just says I'm a bit scatty. Just, I was at home yesterday, went to hers, was going to drive back to London. So left her house, driving back, 5 minutes into the drive, get a phone call. I answer the phone and I'm like, what did I leave? And she went, your entire handbag.
How did you do that?
And even when I asked her, right, I looked in my seat, saw my water bottle, saw my phone and thought, oh, I've got everything.
Do you think you suffer from object permanence? What's object permanence?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking at me?
What's object permanence?
If it's not in front of you, you forget it exists. I say that to men often on a day.
No, I suffer from ADHD.
No, that is part of ADHD.
Well, the objects, I cannot remember things.
So if, say for example...
I don't think it's that. I don't think it's because it's not in front of me. It's because my brain is thinking 10 million things and I'm already gone to London in my head. I'm like, I've got to go. I've got stuff to do.
I must be there. So I've got to go.
So I've already gone. And she said, her partner was like, she was like, oh my God, Carly's left her bag in here. What the fuck? Who the fuck does that? And I do that, guys. I also left a pair of designer sunglasses at my other friend's last week.
Yeah.
One a bit scatty, thought I immediately needed to buy a pair because I was never going to get them back.
So. Have you ever left anything at...
Oh, I've got a great story.
Boys.
Not boys. I mean, probably, but nothing that you care about to get back.
Oh.
I think like in back in the day, they think that you leave things there so you can come back. Carly that's not doesn't. The case, all right?
Carly doesn't care about you.
That is not the case. Just forgot. And do you know what? If I don't see it again, it's probably fine. I've lost a million things. However, I did go on a recent trip last year. And again, wasn't drinking, so ADHD was quite prominent. And I went on a trip by myself, which immediately my friends were concerned about because I booked Kenya, Tanzania and Zanzibar. And I was like, guys, I'm an adult. I work all over the world. I'm pretty sure I can go. And they were like,
I could not do that.
They were like, I don't know, Carls. I don't know. And I was like, it's fine because I'm not going to drink on this trip. But I think I did it. I ended up drinking on this trip because it all got very exciting.
No. I thought you said that there was nothing around.
No, that was a different, that was a yoga retreat the year before. Yeah, that was a yoga retreat in January, right, in Puglia in Italy. Don't do it. It's freezing cold and no one goes, so you are just alone.
And you messaged me and you said there's nothing here.
I nearly flew home, but I didn't. Didn't actually
you drank
home.
Wine.
I drank. They give you really good organic homemade wine. So with the food and the wine, it was great.
Rude to say no.
But yeah, I need people. I just met this group of people. There were seven of us in total. And oh, did they catch on quickly that I would be needed babysitting for the group?
Well, isn't that nice that their intuition spoke
what?
To them?
They were incredible. What a lucky trip to meet a great bunch of people, and they really did look after me. Pretty sure I was the oldest as well. But
do you talk to any of them?
Yeah, we've still got a group. We've planned another trip. But I shout out to, we called them the Magic Mike Rejects, because
that's nice.
When we got to Kenya, we all met up there, and we thought our bus was outside. And then we realised that we were the smallest group there, and actually the giant bus was for everyone going to Uganda. And they got the Magic Mike bus. So one of the people in the group that I was with created a little group and put the name as Magic Mike Rejects. And forever that we will be. But my point was, so we left Kenya and we had to go drive to Tanzania to cross the border. And
did you do that with all of your possessions at that time? No.
So basically, it's like a 4-hour drive to the border. I forgot my passport.
Carly! Where did you leave it?
At the lodge. Thank God. Like, you know, it was actually okay. It was still there and we did get it, but it was because I'd had drinks with everyone the night before. We all got a bit excited, had dinner, had drinks. You know, you're getting to know people. And then...
Consequences of alcohol. Yeah,
consequences were... I think there is a picture of me and they took it of me and I'm dragging my stuff to the bus. All my suitcases. So hungover. Big sunglasses on. Yeah. And she didn't bring my passport. And also didn't get... Again, this is ADHD. Mm. I did not get a yellow fever injection, which you need to cross the border. But...
Why? Because of...
Yellow fever. Infection. Yeah.
What is yellow fever?
You can't ask me questions that I don't know.
But anyone...
Basically, right?
For anyone not watching and just listening... Whenever I'm intrigued, and as you do in conversation, you ask a question, Carly just keeps flinching and giving me this manic look.
It's pressure. If you put me under pressure, I don't know the name of things.
It looks like you're getting electrocuted.
Right. Anyway, you need it. Okay. It's a prominent part there and you needed the vaccination. You couldn't have the vaccination. I didn't have it, but I just would like to say I did go to my doctors before and I got all my jabs. Not once did they tell me I needed that. And they Googled the countries I was going
to. GPs.
So, luckily,
they are overworked.
There was a guy there working on the border that fancied me, and he said...
This is pretty privilege.
he was like, if you come back here, I won't do the accent because I will insult someone and cultural I'm not here for that. Yeah, exactly. But he was like, basically, if you come back here and if you follow me on Instagram and... say you'll go on a date with me, I'll give you the yellow fever jab.
Men are so stupid.
So I did. I followed him on Instagram. He gave me the yellow fever
jab.
And
then he said, if you say you'll go on a date with me, he just wanted the promise.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
Men are so...
Sadly, silly. I did not see him again, but I did get my injection, so thank God I could go to Tanzania because what an experience.
Did you get it over there?
Yeah. Oh my God. I got it at the border. He did it. In the back.
Careful what you say.
Yeah, an injection in the back. Because that is a long process going through the border. Anyway, it was an amazing trip. But going forward, being sober, I'm definitely more focused and more in control of my own
and not decision making.
Yeah, losing things. It's one of the things that is very annoying for me, but it doesn't change. And everyone who knows me has to accept that.
And Carly, do you want to talk a bit more about the difference you've noticed in yourself or maybe your ADHD symptoms since you've not drank?
Yes. Okay. This is a bit more of a deep one. So I have always been on medication for anxiety since I can remember, but I did not know I didn't know pretty much my whole life until I was well into my 30s that I had ADHD until I met, well... probably in my 20s when we were all in the industry together realizing there's something wrong with all of us but that's quite normal. I was on medication for that forever, and being sober I was able to come off that medication and have complete clarity and not have the anxiety and just knowing what it is now and not drinking, like the symptoms of my anxiety. You know, everyone, I think people, you have a different day, you have a bad day, you have a good day, but they're so much calmer. Everything in me is a lot calmer.
Your quality of life has improved dramatically in terms of your ADHD because you've cut out alcohol.
Yeah, I would say so. I would definitely say so. There's still, okay. We've still got the brain worm. Do you still have, I mean, yeah, actually, this that week's been not away. Too bad.
Oh, no, I've struggled this week.
There you go. Each to their own. So, Tara, why have you struggled this week?
There was a period of time, so I'm now 6.5 months. 6 months.
You were going to say I'm 6.5 stone.
I wish.
No, you don't. You disappear. Okay, sorry, carry on.
So I'm now 6 months and 2 weeks sober, and there was a period of that time, maybe 5.5 month mark, where I was pretty comfortable. I don't know if I deluded myself, but I was really comfortable in my sobriety and not drinking. But especially the last week, and when I've actually thought about it, the last couple of weeks, every day I felt the itch the itch for it. Oh, you have,
yeah. It comes and goes, doesn't it?
It comes and goes. And then I think, is this normal? Is this just because I'm depriving myself? Or is this because... Then I think, do people who don't have a problem necessarily...
Don't have the brainworm.
No, but think about it this much. Because every day I'm thinking about, oh, I'd like a drink.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's because I'm purposely depriving myself or if it's...
No, I think it's because you have the brainworm. Because the people with the brainworm have it doesn't leave, does it? It's always there. And it wants to dig a tunnel through your brain.
It's tunneling. And I've really felt it this
week. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What do you do to distract yourself from doing that, from giving in to that brainworm?
I think routine is massively important to me.
I actually love a routine now.
I'm such a morning person.
I'm such a nocturnal owl.
Yeah.
Again, sorry, ADHD, mind wakes up at nighttime. Ooh, off we go. Let's think of all the things we did from the age of 3 upwards that fucked up our lives.
I hate that.
Phenomenal. It's so annoying.
It's torture every day. It is torture. Routine is super important to me. Because if I don't know what I'm doing next, there's room to spiral.
Yeah.
If I know I have to be somewhere. And I also very much make, and this was important at the beginning, which we will touch on in our next episode about the first couple of weeks of being sober, making sobriety very much a big part of my identity because that holds me accountable.
Yes, that is. You've said that to me before.
Yeah.
So Tara just announces
to everyone,
I'm sober. Hi, I'm Tara, and I've actually been sober for 6 months.
Everyone must know.
But it's not to brag. It's for her own sanity.
It's holding myself accountable because if I don't make it such a thing. Because that also puts a certain responsibility on the people that I'm with. Because no one wants to be the person that drags someone down the wrong path, apart from if it was us and we were drinking.
Two people with the brainworm love to drag each other down. They're like, oh my God, thank God someone's on this journey with me.
Oh, Carly, what a great idea. Let's go and not come home for 5 days. Yes, that's brilliant. Oh,
by the way, we've never done that. I actually have never done that.
I've not come home for 3 days.
Where have you been?
It's just the past.
I always come home. I'm very good. I know where my home is. I'm like, is it a dog or a cat that knows where its home is? My cats definitely know we live here. So I think I'm a cat. I know where home is. I'll go there.
I am. No, sometimes, maybe last summer or the summer before, there was times where
the party's just too party-ish.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't need to go home. I haven't got a partner. I've got my house key. I can get back in any time.
I have been in those states where I think actually you've gone so far into the drinking because you couldn't stop drinking.
Yeah.
It's been too many hours. You're too drunk and your anxiety is so high. You're like, I don't want to be sober. You're actually almost, you're like, I cannot be sober because I do not want to remember this. So I'm going to stay here and keep drinking. That happened to me last year and it was very... It was a spiral. It went out of control. I actually wasn't even going to drink that day. And then I ended up drinking and spiraled. I was to a point where I was so drunk. I thought, right, I have to do something about this. Someone has to stop me. And I thought, who do I call? It's either my dad who will kill me. And, you know, that's probably the scariest person I know. Or my London mother, who's not actually my mother, but she adopted me when I first moved to London. And she also scary. So phoned her. Being the better option, latter option. Phoned her up and we mentioned this on the last podcast because Tara said, do you want to talk about the Thailand prison? And I said, no, I'm not ready for that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So I thought as it was in there, I may as well tell you this story and get it over with. Anyway, so I phoned her crying, sobbing, saying, I don't know how to stop drinking. Like, by the way, I was absolutely plastered. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I think you need to send me somewhere. I have to go to rehab. You have to send me. It's funny now, but at the time I was like, distraught. And she said, okay, right, I'm going to send you to rehab then. But I'm picking it and you're going to this rehab in Thailand. And I thought, oh my God, amazing. That sounds great.
Holiday,
spa. No.
Maybe it'll be better than Puglia.
Yeah, no. Sent me over this article, and it's like the world's toughest rehab, which Pete Doherty went to. So, you know, some people want that. And I was, all I had to do was read the article, and I was like, do you know what? I think I can just stop it's drinking. Enough, yeah. I think the scare for me was like, yeah, I don't want to go there. So she scared me back into being sober, which is great for me. That doesn't work for everyone. Some people might want to go to the Thailand rehab, and it is, this one is free. I can't remember what it's called, so we will figure that out and write it in the show notes in case anyone is interested in looking it up.
People might be there are a lot of people that need that support and guidance all day,
and I was luckily enough I did luckily enough the threat in mind enough. Is enough, and it will remain there as enough. And my other friend, she is my posh Chelsea friend who I adore, who I've known for such a long time. But she was like, no, darling, I don't think you need that. I think you need more of a spa. I think you just need a spa. Something like nice, where you can relax. And I was like,
she was guessing
that. Yeah, I don't know if you're getting where I was at that point. But No, I did call her as well. You need someone who's going to be the really good buffer, and someone who's going to threaten you of taking you to prison. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm all right.
Thank God. You know how you said you had done enough, like 3-day binges, and you've just taken it too far. And that was when you called your London mum and discovered Thailand prison.
Love you, London mum.
My point was a couple of years ago. I remember after a rap party, I was on like the second or the third day drinking with my friend. And I just remember being in a pub in Soho, literally just, I stared at this glass of wine. I couldn't touch it, shaking for about 2 hours. And I literally turned to my friend and I said, you're probably going to need to take me to hospital. and we didn't talk for 2 hours. And I just stared.
Hungover?
No, I think I was poisoning myself.
Yeah, yeah. You gave yourself alcohol poisoning.
But I did just carry on. I gave it my body a break for a couple of hours.
But you know what? That is the brain worm. And again, guys,
thinking that I could carry on.
Be too hard on yourself or shame yourself.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens, and it is like an absolute fear, but you generally don't have control after that. Whether it's the first drink, second or third, some of us just don't have the control. And just be gentle with yourself and kind.
That's a good point.
And if you've done, like my friend, one of my really good friends, she's in health and wellness, but she did 28 days. And I'm so proud of her for doing that. And then she had a drink. She went on a date with her partner and went for some drinks. She checked me the next day saying that was so not worth it. I feel so horrific. And I said, well, do you know what? That's fine. Just be kind to yourself. You did 28 days, which is amazing. And then you've had some drinks. And if you want to use it for inspiration, do that. But never punish yourself. You've just got to speak to yourself as if you have a little me in you, because you do.
And always be.
And not a little me.
Something.
A little you.
A little something. That's a really good point. Be very kind to yourself. Yeah. I put a lot of pressure on the idea of maybe wanting to drink again.
Yeah.
And of course, that's maybe I can, maybe I can't. But I think I toy with the idea.
Yeah. I'm interrupting you.
ADHD. I told you that I flirt with the idea, but then I just think of the amount of guilt, because I think I've come so far.
Yeah. And you're holding yourself accountable.
Hugely. And I don't want to make all this time go to waste, which you won't, because I've had the most incredible 6.5 months.
I don't want to sound like a preachy twat, guys, at all, but I am so happy. But again, and so's Tara, and we get so much done. And fitness, I'm like, you know, I think people do, it does actually happen.
Yeah, but there was a woman in the jacuzzi a couple of days ago. I told you this earlier.
Yeah, with a
glass of champagne, which made me feel like, oh, I really missed that.
Yeah, the other day. It was Sunshine Friday.
That was one of my triggers.
We discussed this on Friday. Tara told you last time that her trigger was sunshine, and
it's like the smell of summer in general.
I met my friend in Notting Hill Friday, and it was the best weather so far that we've had. And we were walking around, and actually she didn't drink either, but I was like, Lauren, we would literally be getting smashed by now if I was drinking. And she was like, no, you would be. I would still be all right.
Was she not drinking because you...
I don't know. We just drinking. Didn't drink. We were walking around in the sun and stuff, and I saw people pouring wine. And that, when you do see someone pour that glass of wine, you're like, but it's just the one. I only just want the one, but I can't have the one, so I'm not going to have any. And actually, I did again. I think I had a non-alcoholic beer, and that does it for me now. I love it. I just wanted to ask you what your favourite non-alcoholic drinks are.
Oh, that's a great question. So that's a really good one. I enjoy a really good mocktail that doesn't just taste like fruit juice.
Yeah.
Like something else. Is it juniper? That's the gin and tonic. There's something, I'm not sure. Like a seed or something that gives the drink a bit of spice that doesn't make it taste like a sweet juice drink. So I enjoy a good mocktail. I like a lychee drink, so that's obviously reminds me a lot of a lychee martini. I love anything with an elderflower fizz.
Yeah.
I can't do Coca-Cola after Coca-Cola because I was making that mistake to start, and I just thought, I'm really not enjoying my time out. I feel full. I feel
gross. It's so much sugar.
It wasn't doing it for me, so those are drinks.
I love non-alcoholic Guinness. Oh my God, it's so refreshing. If you haven't tried it, I love it. I think it is my favourite. I'm a bit of a boy drinker because I've always loved beer or lager. So I'm also I'm allergic to white spirits, so it's easier for me to drink that. That and a Peroni. And what is the one in London? Yes, Peroni Zero.
Yeah.
But I also really love Trip CBD drinks.
Yeah.
You can get them anywhere. Trip CBD drinks are great. They're really fruity, refreshing. They just give you a bit of a calm.
And you feel something. I drink them at Soho House.
Yeah. Yeah, we love them by the pool at Soho House, if you can.
Yeah.
Near the pool.
Swap the rosé in for Trip CBD.
Yeah. Thanks for being my... what is it? Interviewer? For
co-host.
But you interviewed me for ADHD, so thank you for that. Obviously, you're my co-host.
thanks for sharing your experience, Carly. I appreciate
and
that.
And yours.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Please keep liking, following, and let us know your comments, stories, everything else.
See ya.
Next time.
Should we do it again?
Yeah.
See you next time. Thanks for listening, guys. We'd love to hear your thoughts, experiences, and stories. If you liked our podcast, please hit the follow button and tune in next Thursday for our weekly episodes.
If you'd like to seek assistance with managing your alcohol intake, in the show notes, we've added various resources and apps that can help you manage alcohol consumption. Examples include Drink Less, Reframe, Everything AA, and other useful websites.